Let's turn this morning, if we could, to Proverbs chapter 19. And we're going to continue a little bit on the thought that we shared last week. Last week we talked about one of the seven spirits or seven anointings of the Lord, and it was the fear of the Lord. And we looked at how when we develop a deep reverence and respect for God, you know, and his ways, that that can keep us and protect us. As we walk in our pathway in life, it can cause us to enter into rest, to know the mercy of the Lord. You know, it said that those who fear the Lord are his treasure. And it becomes a treasure to us when we fear the Lord and we obtain that. And so I want to look at another verse with you. And this is in Proverbs 19 and verse 23. Proverbs 19, verse 23. And I want to show three benefits. You could say three other benefits of for those who develop the fear of the Lord in their lives. And so let's read this together. Proverbs 19:23. It says, "The fear of the Lord tends or leads to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied and will not be visited with evil." You know, these are some pretty amazing promises that we can enter into. These are something that would be pretty good to have for our lives, right? To always be going in the way of life, to always have satisfaction, to not be visited with evil. So I just want to look at these three things and see how we can enter into that in our lives. I'm just going to turn this speaker down. Let's get a little feedback. That's better. And so let's consider the first thing. How it leads to life. And, you know, we realize that the Christian life is a journey, and it's important that we're on the right pathway, right? If you're on a journey and you're on the wrong road, you know, you're going to have some detours, you're going to have some troubles, you're not going to be where you want to be in the time frame that you want to get there. And especially when we're talking about the Christian life, because the pathway that we're supposed to be on is one that grows brighter and brighter under the perfect day, right? If we're on the other pathway, it can go darker and darker, so we want to make sure we're on the right one. You know, as it says in Proverbs 4 and verse 18, you know, we want to be on that brighter and brighter pathway. And that's, you could say, what it leads. What it says is it leads us unto life, that pathway that God desires us to be on. But we realize this is something spiritual, right? And we have to understand that. In the natural, it can be hard to relate to this. I mean, especially in our day, right? We have GPS and smartphones and interstates and clear signs on the interstate. We still get lost, but it's not as bad as it used to be, right? But I want to relate it back to the times of Jesus. You know, if you took a journey then, it was a different proposition, right? I mean, there were bandits on the road. They didn't have the state police you could call. They didn't have AAA. You know, it was a serious proposition to take a journey. And, you know, perhaps the Romans employed a few signs on their highways, but it was a different thing to travel in those days. You know, you would be traveling maybe in the wilderness of Judea, and you'd be walking along a dirt path, and that was the highway. And then you came to, you know, it forks off to the right or to the left. And which way do you go? You know, you could only know unless you'd been that way before or you had a guide. And I think that's a good idea of the Christian life, is that we're walking on that kind of a highway in our lives. And what can help us choose the right way? What can help us to know the way that we should go? Well, in this verse in Proverbs, it says the way that leads to life is the way that's directed by the fear of the Lord. And that's been so quickened to me in just considering this, is that the fear of the Lord, when we walk in that way and we accept it into our lives and we choose to walk according to it, it leads us in the way of life. It grows brighter and brighter. And so we want to walk in that way, you know, and you could say that can be a really key in our lives, is that the fear of the Lord can direct us and guide us. You know, the Holy Spirit can lead us through that. And there was a situation I was in where I had to make a decision. And it was difficult because I had two very knowledgeable people I'd asked counsel of, and they were saying the opposite things, right? Completely opposite. One person said, yes, you should do this. The other person said, that's totally wrong. You shouldn't do that. You should do this. And I remember asking the Lord, Lord, what should I do? These people are both very knowledgeable. This is their field of expertise. And there was a certain way I wanted to go, right? I wanted to go that way and make that decision. And so I was crying out to the Lord, and in my spirit, I started to feel something. You know, I started to feel, you know, something in my spirit. It was actually an uneasiness. And, you know, I felt like when I thought about making a decision this way, I just felt such an uneasiness in my heart. And I was like, oh, I don't like that feeling. I didn't have a word from the Lord. The Lord didn't speak to me. You know, a verse didn't start glowing in my Bible that said, you know, do go this way. It's nice when that happens. But the Lord wasn't speaking to that. But I felt something. It was like a warning in my heart. Even though I wanted to go that way, I realized, you know, there's something about that that's not right. I didn't understand it. I didn't know. But I said, well, I guess if I fear God, I better go the way that, you know, he's warning me. I better avoid that way and go in this other way because this seems like the safe choice. And so I did that. And, you know, I realized later on that that was the wrong choice. In hindsight, I made the right decision. And so it's so important when we're in situations, sometimes we don't always understand it. Sometimes we want to do that. We don't see anything wrong with it, but we're saying, Lord, would you speak to me? And he doesn't speak a word in our ear, but sometimes he can show us in our heart and give a little warning. And it's very easy to ignore that. Have you ever ignored a little warning in your heart? And it's like, I don't know if this is the right decision or not, but hey, what does it matter? It's not a big deal. And we do that, and then we realize, I wish I had listened to that little warning. You know. And so the Lord speaks to us in that way. He directs us. And, you know, it's interesting how you can relate the fear of the Lord. And, of course, when we're talking about the fear of the Lord, we talked about this last week, it's not just an emotional fear, but it's a respect and it's a reverence for God and his ways. But it's interesting how you can relate the fear of the Lord to the peace of God, right? Because, you know, they seemed very opposite of each other, but the Lord leads us by his peace. And there's a verse in Colossians 3 and verse 15 that illustrates this. Colossians 3 and verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And when you look in the Greek, that word for rule, I'll try and pronounce it right, it's brabuo. Brabuo. But really it means to arbitrate. So let the peace of God arbitrate in your heart. But it's similar to the thought of an umpire. You know, if you have an umpire in a baseball game, his word arbitrates what is a strike or what is a ball or whether someone's safe when they come into home plate. You know, the teams might not agree, they have their opinions, but the umpire is the one that arbitrates that and makes the decision. And so here the Apostle Paul is saying, let the peace of God be your arbitrator. Let the peace of God be your umpire. And sometimes we're in situations, as I was sharing in my own life, where, you know, we walk, and it's so wonderful when you make a decision and you have the peace of God in your heart. And it's like, you know, I know that the Lord's leading me. He's guiding me. You know, I don't know all the details. You know, I just feel peace that this is what the Lord has for me to do. But then he leads us by that peace, because sometimes we make a decision. It's like, oh, I don't have peace. I don't have peace about doing this or making this decision at this time. And what do we do? It's like, well, this is just a feeling in my heart. But yet the Lord can lead us. And if we choose the fear of the Lord and we want to walk in that way, we respond and say, okay, Lord, I want to please you. And so I'm gonna respect that. I'm going to listen to that. And I'm going to let peace be an umpire in my heart. And so often we're faced with decisions. And, you know, the hard part is when we want to do what we don't have peace about doing. And that's the battle. You know, sometimes we disregard it and we pay the consequences. But it's so important to walk in the fear of the Lord and pay attention to the umpire in our hearts, the umpire of peace, because he wants to direct us and guide us by his peace. You know, and I'm learning more and more how important it is. Sometimes in my mind, I can rationalize it and say, well, this isn't really, it's not important. And until I ignore it and realize why it was important, you know, sometimes we like to do that. But I'm realizing how important it is to listen to the peace and the direction of the Holy Spirit through peace and walking in the fear of the Lord. You know, sometimes we have to disregard what our mind says and say, Lord, what do you think? What is the safe path? Safe spiritually, you could say. You know, we don't want to trust in what our heart is saying. Have you ever noticed that when you watch some of these movies or TV shows? The message is trust in yourself, trust in your heart, right? Especially Disney movies, right? You watch that, it's like trust in your own heart. Let's look at what the Bible says about that. Proverbs 28 and verse 26. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. there's no qualms about that, right? You know, and we're talking about the nature, our old nature. If we trust in what our heart is saying, what our desires are saying, you know, we can get in a lot of trouble. But if we cry out to the Lord and just say, Lord, don't let me go in a wrong way. I want to please you. I want to walk in your way. And we're sensitive to the peace of God in our hearts. He'll lead us in the right way. It'll be a pathway that leads unto life, not unto death. And so the fear of the Lord, you know, has a wonderful benefit, and he leads us into life. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 19. I want to look at the second part of this verse. It says, he that has the fear of the Lord shall abide satisfied, shall abide in satisfaction. Now, satisfaction is something that the world is seeking after, right? Everyone in the world wants to be satisfied. You know, that's why everyone's seeking what they want to do. And I think in the history of mankind, there has never been so many things that we can seek to do to find satisfaction, right, in some measure. Or really, it's distraction, right? You can go and find a million different hobbies or sports or, you know, entertainment or relationships through different methods and means. You know, but and really, it's all the human heart is seeking satisfaction in all of these things. I think the latest man is the Pokemon Go thing, right? You got kids all over the world. You know, I think two kids walked off a cliff because they were playing Pokemon Go and had to be rescued by the fire department, right? You know, and, you know, it's not that we're labeling all video games or whatever, but there's that sense that people are seeking satisfaction in things, but really they don't satisfy. There's only one thing that satisfies, and that's the Lord Jesus in a relationship with him. That when we meet with him and we follow him in the fear of the Lord, it'll be satisfaction. That will be our portion. And, you know, I think that really is one of the strongest and most appealing messages of the Christian life, is God wants to give us satisfaction. You know, but I don't know if you have much memory before you were saved. Maybe you're saved later in life. Or maybe you're saved as a young person, but you know, I remember as a young person, I grew up in a Christian home, but it took me a while to get a hold of God or for God to get a hold of me. And I remember trying to seek my own way in certain aspects, and there was no satisfaction until I really met with the Lord. And I went to Bible school, and I started learning about the Lord and applying those things to my heart. One of the things I was so surprised with in my relationship with the Lord is how I was satisfied. You know, I would, as a young teenager, I would go and seek this, that, and the other, and hang out with friends and try to have fun. But at the end of the day, I was empty. But yet, when we come to the Lord and follow him, there's a satisfaction deep within our soul. And that's what he wants to give to us. There are so many empty people in the world. Well, they fill themselves up, but it's like Jeremiah says, like you're a cistern, a tank in the ground built to hold water, but you got a big crack in it. No matter how much you fill up, it always leaks out. And that's seeking our satisfaction from the world. But in Christ, there's true satisfaction. I like how another translation puts this. It's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. But it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and one will sleep at night without danger. One will sleep at night. All right? And so you could say, at the fear of the Lord, one will sleep at night because you'll have a good night's rest from a good day's work. Because we've walked in the fear of the Lord. You know, sometimes, you know, we can be troubled. Even as Christians, we can be troubled because during the day we didn't walk in the fear of the Lord. And now we have concerns, we have worries, we have the consequences of our decisions. You know, but yet when we walk in the fear of the Lord, we can rest in peace. You know, David, even when he was running from his son Absalom, he said in one of the Psalms, he said, I can lay my head down and I can sleep. I can rest because the Lord is with me. You know, he had the fear of the Lord and he didn't have to fear all of those things. He could rest in him. You know, the Lord wants to bring us into rest. And we talked about that a little bit last week. But, you know, there's also an ultimate rest that he can bring us into where we can sleep and be satisfied. And, you know, Paul talked a lot about, in the New Testament, he talked about those who sleep in Christ, right? They are asleep. That's a nice way of saying they had died and they had gone to heaven, right? And so they were asleep in Christ, but they had entered eternity. You know, they'd entered into their rest, into their joy. And there's this aspect of the fear of the Lord is that when we have a life full of the fear of God, where we've walked in the fear of the Lord, we've chosen to walk in his fear, that will cause us to sleep well for all eternity. We'll have a good eternity because we've walked in the fear of the Lord. We've followed the Lamb, as it says in Revelation 14. We've followed him wherever he has led us. We haven't kicked at the leading of the Lord. You know, it says, you know, Psalms, don't be like the mule, you know, that you have to put a bridle on, you know, and that you have to try and get leading along, you know, but be a little lamb that just responds. And that's our choice in life. You know, we want to follow the Lamb, and that's what we want our eternity to be like. And one of my favorite verses in Scripture is in Psalm 17 and verse 15. And this is a Psalm of David again, talking about eternity. In Psalm 17 and verse 15, it says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now that was the cry of King David's heart. I will behold your face in righteousness, and I'll be satisfied. Here's David. He'd got a lot in his life that you say could have satisfied him, right? He had all the gold and silver he could ever want. He was a good king. He had ruled. He'd known power. He'd known glory in his life. This is what he says. This is where my true satisfaction is found. I'll be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Now let's think about that for a minute. Now we're talking about those who sleep in Christ, those who sleep in the Lord and they awake. You know, when is he awaking? He's awaking on the other side in eternity. You know, when he goes into eternity and he opens his eyes in heaven, he wants to awake. But what does he want to awake? You know, what kind of experience does he want? It says, I want when I awake in your likeness. When I've become like you, Lord, when I've become like the one I serve. And so you could say that, you know, his satisfaction will be when he gets into heaven and he can see that God has changed his life and transformed him into the man that he wanted him to be. And we know that he had that testimony because God's testimony of David was, he's a man after my own heart. And so I think he got his satisfaction in heaven. You know, that's our goal. True satisfaction is going to come when we walk in the fear of the Lord in our lives and we've allowed him to work in our hearts, in our responses to each other, in our reactions to other people, in our reactions to the situations that the Lord brings us through. when we become like him. And, of course, what was the Lord like? Well, when he described himself in the New Testament, he said, well, I am meek and lowly. I am meek and lowly. And so if we want to have this end outcome of our lives, like David says, where he says, when I awake in your likeness, that's when I'll be satisfied. Then we need to walk in the fear of the Lord, so that whatever we're going through, we're allowing him to work in our lives to make ourselves like him, to be meek, to accept the situations he brings us through and the people he brings into our lives, and lowly, to walk in humility, you know, just relying upon him, relying upon his grace and his strength, not upon our own. That's how we'll obtain true satisfaction in life. And then one last thing, back in Proverbs 19 and verse 23. Now this is an interesting phrase. He shall not be visited with evil. Those who walk in the fear of the Lord shall not be visited with evil. Now we have to be careful about taking this at face value for what this is saying literally. Because, or at least how it's translated in the English. Because when we think, oh, we won't be visited with evil. Oh, that means if I walk in the fear of the Lord, life is good, right? I'm not going to experience any evil situations or any difficulties. You know, the devil won't be able to touch me. Well, I think we have to understand from Scripture that that's not necessarily the case. Job was a pretty good man, but the devil touched him, right? He went through some evil circumstances. And so what does this mean? Well, I think the best way to look at this is to consider, how will evil affect our lives? All right, we're all going to go through difficulty. We have evil all around us. But how can we walk in the fear of the Lord so that evil won't have an effect on our lives? And I want to consider this through the story of Abraham and Lot. All right, do you remember when their flocks and herds got so big that they couldn't be together? Right, the land couldn't sustain them. And it said that Abraham came to his nephew Lot, and he said, well, Lot, we can't be together. We need to separate. So if you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. You just tell me which way you're going, and I'll go the other way. And so you could see there Abraham just saying, well, I'm going to trust in the Lord. Whatever Lot chooses, the Lord's going to direct me. And so Lot, he lifted up his eyes, and he looked around, and it says he saw the plains of Sodom. And he said, wow, that looks like a good place to live. That looks like I'm going to be fruitful. He must have looked the other way and said, well, that looks okay, but it doesn't look like it's going to be as good for my flocks. You know, I won't grow as big that way. So Abraham, Uncle Abraham, you can have that one. I'm going to take Sodom. Well, he must have realized what the people of Sodom were like too when he made that decision. But he chose that. And so he chose Sodom, and we know how the story turns out, right? Right? He chose that, and the evil affected him. But it didn't just, it wasn't just an evil experience, but his family was turned from the ways of God. He lost his inheritance, all his wealth and riches. He lost that because he allowed evil into his life and his family through choosing that way to dwell with wickedness. You know, and that had a great effect on him and his family. You know, his wife, you know, died when she turned around and looked back and became a pillar of salt. You know, so you could say evil had a great effect on him because he allowed it into his life and into his heart. But Abraham, because he walked in the fear of the Lord, and he said, Lord, choose for me. Lord, I'm going to go in the way that you direct me. And the Lord said, well, go to this land and I'll give it to you for an inheritance. Now, the people in that land were still pretty wicked, right? The Lord must have said Sodom was on a different level, but they were still wicked. But yet Abraham had a different heart. He had a heart after the Lord, and he chose to follow him and to walk in the fear of the Lord. You know, and one of the definitions of the fear of the Lord is to love righteousness, but to hate wickedness. To not give wickedness any place. And so we want to walk in the fear of the Lord. And if we do that, evil will not be able to affect us. Evil will not find a way into our hearts to steal our inheritance as it did with Lot. In fact, it will increase us. You know, we might walk through evil, right? We can't make a very good case that we'll never experience evil in our lives from Scripture, can we? Some of the greatest men and women in Scripture experienced a lot of evil. But yet, it can either take us down or it can lift us up. You know, Joseph, we talked about him last week. He went through a lot of evil experiences, but he never let it get into his heart. He hated the evil, and he loved the ways of God. And so he walked in the fear of the Lord, seeking to honor God in whatever situation he was in. And that evil never got into his heart. And he reigned in his situation. Job went through a lot of evil. The Lord was trying to deal at something in an attitude and a mindset in his heart. But yet we know that that situation, that evil, did not get into his heart, as his friends were saying it had. But, you know, we go through that difficulty. But the promise is that if we walk in the fear of the Lord, he'll keep our hearts. He'll keep that evil from having an effect on us and turning our hearts. In John 14 and verse 30, you know, I love what it says about the Lord. You could say this is a testimony of the Lord and how he had walked in the fear of his Father. And he said this to his disciples in John 14 and verse 30. He said, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world is coming, the devil is coming, and he has nothing in me." He has nothing in me. That's quite a saying, you know, and God wants that to be our testimony. You know, the Lord's leading me. He's leading me on a pathway, and the devil is coming, but he has nothing in me. There's no little string hanging out of my heart that he can tug on. There's no avenue, there's no little hole in my wall that he can get through and sneak in. And, you know, like it says in Song of Solomon, the little foxes have destroyed the vine. You know, those little avenues where the enemy can get into our hearts through maybe a desire or a wrong attitude or a wrong motive. Those things have been dealt with. And one of the principal ways is by walking in the fear of the Lord. And that when we do that, and when we allow that anointing to come upon our lives and walk in the fear of the Lord, it says evil will not be able to affect us and turn our hearts. And we can have that same testimony as the Lord. Well, the enemy is coming, the devil's coming, but he has nothing in me. He can't turn my heart. He can't manipulate me. He can't provoke me. I'm still working on that one. Right? He can't turn us out of the pathway that grows brighter and brighter. He can't turn us from the way of life because God has worked in us. And so we want that to be our testimony. And so perhaps this week again we can cry out to the Lord that he would make the fear of the Lord our portion, that it would be an anointing, but it would be something, you know, an anointing is something that can come upon us and leave us at times. You know, sometimes the anointing comes upon us and we're strong, or he speaks through us and such. But there's an even deeper thought here, is where it becomes a way of life, where that becomes our pathway. It becomes the attitude we take with every decision that we make. And that's what we want to ask the Lord. Lord, make that a way of life for me, that I'll walk in the fear of the Lord, that when I make decisions, it's because I reverence and respect you and your ways. And sometimes we pay a price for that. Sometimes it's really challenging. But if we will commit to doing that in our lives, there's so many benefits for walking in the fear of the Lord. You know, it will lead us to the way of life. When we wake up in the next life, we'll be so satisfied, so that we become like the Lord, that the enemy can find nothing in us, but that we've walked in the fear of the Lord. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for this anointing that you desire to give to us. Thank you, Lord, for the example of your life, Lord Jesus, how you walked in the fear of your Father. Lord, we ask that you would put that within us. And Lord, even teach us, Lord, day by day, to choose the fear of the Lord and to walk in this way in our lives. Lord, that we would be pleasing to you. Lord, that we could walk on that pathway of righteousness. Lord, that we could enter into that satisfaction, oh God, of pleasing your heart. Lord, and that, Lord, you would keep us, Lord, as we walk in your way. Lord, that's our desire. Lord, when we awake in the next life, Lord, we want to awake satisfied because you've done that work in our hearts. You've made us like you. Lord, we just commit ourselves to doing that. Help us, Lord, we pray. And we bless you and we thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.